My name's Elizabeth Fisher, and I'm a geneticist at Imperial College in London. And the work in my laboratory, trying to find genes that are involved in neurological diseases, directly stems from the discovery of DNA by James Watson and Francis Crick back in the 1950s. When I think about the discovery of Watson and Crick and the solving of the structure of DNA, I'm taken back to the time in the late 70s when I was about 17 or 18 and I came across James Watson's book, The Double Helix. Now, I don't think this is great literature, but it's certainly a great read. It really, for me, captures the spirit of an age and what the discovery of DNA was all about. It captures a certain innocence and a desire for knowledge and an awful lot of fun, and that's really what scientific research should be. It should be about having fun. I didn't study genetics as an undergraduate. I came into the subject fairly late, having done a variety of other things, including worked in the theatre for a short time. And I thought, now this is an interesting subject, and I remembered that book, The Double Helix, and I remembered a tiny research project I'd done as an undergraduate at Oxford University, and it really inspired me to go on and do something different with my life, to go on and study genetics. That led on to a position at somewhere called the Whitehead Institute at MIT in the States, and for me, the 3 years that I were there were a really seminal period of my life. This is another thing about science and about what genetics has given me, in that I made a lot of good friends during that period, and I also realised just how international the study of science is. It doesn't matter what your religious beliefs are, ethnic background, which country you come from, science is truly an international business, and it's one of the pleasures of doing this kind of job. When I was in America, I was working in a laboratory that was trying to understand the genetics of sex determination. In other words, what makes you male and what makes you female. And this particular research project led on to another interest of mine, which is in something called Turner syndrome, a relatively common disorder that affects human females. And from that, that's led, as the way scientific research does, into a mushrooming of other interests. And bizarrely, of all things, I now end up working on the genetics of neurological disorders. When you're doing one of these experiments, of course, you never know until you've got to the end whether you've actually achieved something, whether you've got a set of results that mean anything, or whether just through sheer bad luck or incompetence you're going to have to go right back to the beginning and start again. But when you have found something out, it's a shot in the arm, it's a drug that keeps you going in between the minor discoveries that you make. And for me, one of the appealing and exciting things about working in this field is feeling that one's being able to make a contribution. I remember doing a research project which was to try and find a gene that was involved in this human syndrome called Turner syndrome, and this, I suppose, has been one of the high points of my career for me personally. And it involved trying to find a gene on a particular region of a particular chromosome. So it's quite technical work and quite demanding. And one of the results depended on us developing an X-ray. And I remember, it's such a classic thing, I was in the Whitehead Institute very late at night. Of course, these things always tend to happen late at night. And I developed the X-ray, and there we saw the result that we wanted. We saw one particular piece of shading on the X-ray film. And this was incredibly exciting. So what did I want to do? I wanted to rush around the corridors and tell everybody, and so you find the only people who are around, who are usually the cleaners, and show them this result, and it's terribly exciting. The next stage was to look at the piece of DNA, and this was another exciting thing, to look at the A's and C's and G's and T's, the chemicals that make up the DNA, and to be able to read the sequence and think, good heavens, no one's ever seen this before, and this is my contribution, this is something I'm able to give. This sequence of A's and C's and G's and T's, it's a gene, it'll always be there, and I found it. Downstream of this discovery, there are lots of other implications. In my case, the gene turned out to be not as important as I'd hoped it would be, but it's still there, it's still in the DNA database, you can still find it. And I think, well, that's great, that's something that's my little piece that I've added in.